This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The relationship between emotional self-awareness and how you handle uncertainty. What you know about yourself changes everything when certainty disappears. In short, emotional self-awareness does not just tell you how you feel. It determines whether uncertainty controls your behavior or you do. When you can name what you're feeling in real time, you create a gap between the emotion and your response. That gap is where clear thinking, better decisions, and genuine composure lie. Without it, uncertainty triggers your oldest habits, and your oldest habits are rarely your best ones. Definition: emotional self-awareness is the capacity to recognize your own emotional states as they arise, identify what triggered them, and understand how those states are shaping your thoughts, decisions, and behavior in the present moment. There is a particular kind of person you encounter in uncertain situations, in teams facing a difficult restructure, in conversations, when nobody knows yet how something will end. They do not perform calm. They are not pretending. They are genuinely present with the discomfort, thinking clearly despite the fog, making decisions without the false certainty that often masks anxiety. I spent years wondering what those people knew that others did not. After 6 decades of watching people under pressure, I am convinced of this: the answer is almost never intelligence or experience. It is emotional self-awareness. Specifically, it is a kind that works in real time, not just in reflection afterward. What most people understand about self-awareness and what they miss. Most people think of self-awareness as knowing themselves in a general sense. They know they get impatient in long meetings. They know they tend to shut down when someone challenges them publicly. They have built up a reasonable map of their personality over the years. That is useful, and it is better than nothing. But general self-knowledge and real-time emotional self-awareness are different things. The first is a portrait painted after the fact. The second is a live feed. What I'm talking about is the ability to notice, mid-conversation, mid-decision, mid-uncertainty, something is happening inside me right now, and it is shaping what I'm about to do. The gap between those two is enormous. A person who knows they tend to get defensive is describing a pattern they have noticed in the past. A person with real emotional self-awareness notices the defensive feeling beginning to rise in the present moment, before it has already shaped their words. That fraction of awareness is everything when uncertainty enters the room. The internal mechanism that connects self-awareness to uncertainty. Here is the truth of it. Uncertainty is not just an intellectual problem. It is an emotional one. When outcomes are unclear, when you do not know whether you will succeed or fail, whether a relationship will survive a hard conversation, whether a project will land as you hoped, your nervous system responds before your conscious mind has even finished processing the situation. That response is not random. It pulls from your existing emotional patterns, the specific fears, sensitivities, and triggers you have built up over a lifetime. One person feels the uncertainty as excitement and leans in. Another feels it as threat and contracts. A third feels it as shame and deflects. These are not character flaws. They are learned emotional templates, and they fire automatically. This is exactly where emotional self-awareness earns its value. When you can recognize your own template in real time, when you can feel the contraction beginning and name it, you introduce a pause. That pause does not eliminate the feeling. It simply stops the feeling from becoming your behavior without your say-so. You can read more about what happens when that pause is absent in What Is the Amygdala Hijack? And How Does It Escalate Workplace Tension in High-Pressure Moments?, which explains the neurological mechanics behind reactive behavior when the nervous system overrides the thinking mind. The practical consequence is direct. Without that pause, your response to uncertainty is determined by your emotional history. With it, your response can be determined by your judgment. Self-awareness does not make uncertainty easier. It makes you bigger than your first reaction to it. Where this shows up in real situations. Consider a manager whose team is waiting on a decision from senior leadership. Nobody knows the outcome. The manager has her own anxiety about it. She has two choices. Though she may not frame them this way, she can let that anxiety express itself through her behavior, becoming curt, withholding information, overworking to generate a feeling of control, where she can notice the anxiety, name it to herself, and then decide how she actually wants to show up for her team during the week. The first path is not weakness. It is what happens when emotional self-awareness is absent. The anxiety runs the show without being recognized. If you have ever watched someone become increasingly controlling in an uncertain situation, that is often what you are seeing. The second path requires that she can feel the anxiety clearly enough to separate it from her behavior. That is not a personality trait she either has or does not have. It is a skill she has either practiced or has not. For a connected example, signs your team's amygdala hijack problem is destroying synergy in real time shows what happens at the team level when this kind of self-regulation breaks down consistently. Or take a simpler example, someone waiting to hear whether a piece of work they cared about has been accepted or rejected. The uncertainty between submission and response is a small crucible. Do they spiral into worst-case thinking? Do they catastrophize and begin preemptively defending their choices to colleagues? Or do they notice the urge to do those things, recognize it as anxiety rather than signal, and hold steady? The answer depends almost entirely on whether they know their own emotional patterns well enough to spot them as they form. Why this connection goes unrecognized. I have watched people invest years in developing their professional skills, their communication techniques, their ability to read a room, without ever turning that same attention inward, and I understand why. Looking outward at tools and systems feels productive. Looking inward at your own emotional patterns feels uncertain, possibly uncomfortable, and hard to measure. There is also a cultural habit, particularly in professional settings, of treating emotions as noise to be managed rather than information to be read. When you think of your anxiety as the enemy, you spend your energy suppressing it. You never learn to read it. That is a significant loss, because your emotional responses carry genuine data about what you value, what threatens you, and where your attention actually is versus where you think it is. The result is that most people only discover their emotional patterns after they have already expressed them badly. They notice the defensiveness when someone else points it out. They register the freeze when a decision they avoided making finally cost them something. Reflection after the fact has its value, but it is not the same as real-time awareness. Real-time awareness is what changes behavior in the moment uncertainty is actually present. This is also why how to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction matters as a practical companion to this insight. Having a method to return to your emotional ground during a charged moment only works if you can recognize that you need it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Zate Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What emotional self-awareness under uncertainty actually requires. Developing this capacity is not a weekend exercise. It is a long practice, but it does have concrete starting points. The first is learning to name your emotional state in real time, not just in hindsight. When you notice discomfort in an uncertain situation, resist the habit of moving immediately toward problem solving. Pause and ask yourself, what am I actually feeling right now? Not what do I think about this situation, but what is the emotional texture of my inner state in this moment? Anxious, resentful, embarrassed, quietly afraid. Naming it is not indulgent. It is the first act of clarity. The second is learning to distinguish between your emotional signal and your emotional story. The signal is the raw feeling. The story is the meaning your mind layers onto it almost immediately. I feel anxious is a signal. This will probably go badly, and they will blame me is a story. Self-awareness means staying close to the signal long enough to evaluate whether the story is accurate before you act on it. The third is building a history of your own patterns. Over time, you learn which kinds of uncertainty tend to trigger which responses in you. Public uncertainty triggers one thing. Financial uncertainty triggers another. Interpersonal uncertainty a third. That map lets you anticipate your own reactions rather than simply being surprised by them. You can connect this directly to performance under pressure by reading how the confidence competence loop explains why some managers handle workplace tension better than others, which explores how self-knowledge shapes the ability to stay effective when things get hard. Emotional self-awareness also changes how you come across to others during uncertain times. People do not just notice what you say during uncertainty. They feel your inner state through your tone, your pace, your small reactions. When you are regulated, they feel it. When you are not, they feel that too. This is directly relevant to how feedback lands and how trust is built, both of which you can explore further through what the confidence competence loop reveals about why some people give better feedback and how the confidence competence loop explains why some teams build synergy faster than others. The ground beneath your feet. There is a phrase I come back to often, drawn from years of watching people face the same pressures in different ways. The ones who navigate uncertainty best are not the ones who feel at least. They're the ones who have learned to stand on the ground of what they know about themselves, even when everything around them is shifting. Emotional self-awareness is that ground. It does not promise you will always feel calm. It promises something better, that you will know what you're feeling, and that knowledge will be yours to act on rather than react from. That is a strength that compounds over time. The more situations you move through with awareness intact, the richer your map of your own patterns becomes, and the faster you can find your footing the next time. If uncertainty is a constant in your work, and it almost certainly is, developing emotional self-awareness is not a soft skill. It is a practical foundation that every other skill you have rests on. How to use the confidence competence loop to make your team synergy conversations less terrifying explores how that same inner steadiness applies when the stakes are relational. The principle holds across every uncertain situation you will ever face. Emotional self-awareness is not what you use after you've composed yourself. It is how you compose yourself to begin with. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-awareness? Emotional self-awareness is the ability to recognize your own emotional states as they happen, understand what triggers them, and see how they shape your thinking and behavior. It is the foundation of emotional intelligence and the starting point for every other self-regulation skill. How does emotional self-awareness help with uncertainty? When you know your emotional patterns, you can spot the moment fear or anxiety begins to distort your thinking during uncertain situations. That gap between noticing the feeling and reacting to it gives you real choice about how to respond, rather than defaulting to your worst habits. Can you improve emotional self-awareness through practice? Yes. Emotional self-awareness grows through consistent reflection, not through a single insight. Naming your emotional state in real time, reviewing your reactions after difficult situations, and practicing the pause before response are all concrete methods that build this skill over weeks and months. Why do people struggle with emotional self-awareness under pressure? Under pressure, the brain prioritizes speed over accuracy. Emotional signals get overridden by the urgency of the situation, so people react before they have registered what they are actually feeling. The stronger the pressure, the more deliberate self-awareness practice needs to be to counteract this. What does poor emotional self-awareness look like in the workplace? It shows up as escalating reactions in calm conversations, blaming others when outcomes feel threatening, freezing when a decision is needed, or dismissing your own anxiety and pretending to be fine. These are all signs that emotional signals are running behavior without being consciously noticed or named. Is emotional self-awareness the same as emotional intelligence? No. Emotional self-awareness is one specific component of emotional intelligence, the internal, inward-facing part. Emotional intelligence as a whole also includes empathy, social awareness, and relationship management. You cannot develop the outward-facing skills reliably without first building the inward-facing ones. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.